Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. Dedicating this show to all of those people out there who were told they couldn't make it, who were told they weren't good enough, who were told they were never going to get to the top. Maybe it started in school. Maybe it started in your first job. But it's going to end tonight. Because it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. I was just talking to a self-made millionaire. And I asked him, how do you become successful? How do you make it to the top? And he said, and I hope you remember this. I don't think I'm ever going to forget this for the rest of my life. He looked me in the eyes and he said, you fail yourself to success. I'll repeat that. He said, you fail yourself to success. So if life's pounding you down, if doors are closing on your face, if you just made a big mistake and lost an epic account, well, congratulations, because apparently you're on your way to the top, given two things that you never let go of. And he said, number one, self-belief. You've got to believe it before anyone else does. You've got to believe in that dream more than anyone else ever does, because they can't believe it until you do. And number two, never give up. Never quit. Never give up. This is Eye on Careers. Tonight, we have two amazing guests going to help you find your drive, because tonight's theme is automotive. We've got Volkswagen, one of the top brands out here, coming in, and Renault. Our first guest, Thomas Miltz, Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East. We're going to hear all about his background and how he made it to the top of the auto game out here in the land of sand. It's a great tune. We started to open up with a little AC/DC. And our second guest, Peeman Karger, Middle East Managing Director for Renault. I don't know if he may have a connection with Sebastian Vettel, seeing as they're number one in the F1 circuit right now. Sebastian Vettel, landslide victory over his competitors, dominating the F1 scene. But let's hear, I'm going to have to apologize to all those metal fans, although they're going to have to turn down the AC/DC a little bit. That is one fine, fine tune. And we have a very senior managing director here live in the studio who can address those questions. As I said, his name is Thomas Miltz. Let's hear a little bit more about his background.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
When looking at the CV of Thomas Miltz, you will notice that he has been a part of the Volkswagen brand for 16 years, starting off as a product manager and working his way up to becoming managing director of Volkswagen Middle East and Audi Volkswagen Middle East. He has experience as a product manager in the US, general manager sales and distribution, and as the director for sales for Europe Northwest region. He has lived and breathed the Volkswagen brand.
Thomas, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Good evening, Shane.
It's great to have you out here. I know how busy a man in your position is, so I do appreciate you taking the time to come out. And speaking of time, I think we made a bit of a boo-boo there, didn't we? Because you've done a lot more time than 16 years in Volkswagen, haven't you?
Well, in fact, it's more than 20 years now.
So you're just getting warmed up, right? I think we had Rajaram, who I'm sure that you, Mr. Rajaram, the CEO of Al and the Buddha, and I think he's done 40. So you're halfway there, apparently.
Yeah, and I met him this morning, and he's still doing great.
He's really an amazing guy. And we were going through his story about a couple weeks ago at the Canadian University of Dubai. He did a live talk about his story, and he said, you know, there was no running water, and he had to pour water on his mattress when he first came to Oman, and that was the air conditioning. So it was so hot at night, there was no air conditioning. You soaked your mattress in water, and you jumped on it, hopefully to fall asleep before the water evaporated.
See, I have a big advantage. I grew up in Wolfsburg, so it's never ever that hot in Wolfsburg, and therefore we only have gray skies.
What's the temperature like? Is it freezing in Wolfsburg?
Oh yeah, right now it's freezing. It's probably 0 or even minus 10 degrees, and snow on the ground.
Ouch. Yeah, well, I'm from Canada, so we are we created the polar vortex. Something, that little gift we gave for our Americans just below us. But I definitely don't complain about the heat out here. But I think when you're in the town that you grew up in, is a Volkswagen town, would that be a best way to describe it, or how would you describe that?
That is the Volkswagen Stadt, as we call it, because it has 120,000 people living there, and 50,000 people working for Volkswagen in that place. So when you're born there, you have Volkswagen blood in your veins.
It just shows you the impact that the private sector has, you know, within a community, within the economy. That's a huge impact. I mean, they're basically the bedrock of the town.
Yes, absolutely.
So you grew up, you know, with your lunchbox in your hand and one eye on the Volkswagen plant, saying, one day I'm going to be managing director.
No, it wasn't really that straight. Of course, my entire family, my dad, my grandpas, and uncles and aunts, they all worked for Volkswagen. It's pretty tough not to work for Volkswagen when you live in Wolfsburg. But quite frankly, when I was a kid, my initial wish was to be a lawyer, later on a teacher, and then finally to become a manager at Volkswagen.
Okay, so you wanted to be a lawyer, then a teacher, then work at Volkswagen.
Yes, and when you put some timing perspective behind it, lawyer probably when I was a kid, the first five grades of school. Then when I recognized in high school that there are good and there are bad teachers, I wanted to become a good teacher. And finally then I decided teaching is not really what I would like to do for my proficiency in the future.
So, what was it that you ended up doing in university for your degree?
I basically studied, and I got a scholarship from Volkswagen at that point of time. I studied business economics, but I also I'm an auto mechanic by trade, because that's what I started doing right after I finished my high school.
You're an auto mechanic by trade, so you literally can take a Volkswagen apart bolt by bolt and put it back together.
If I have to, yes, I would be able to do so.
Wow, that's amazing. I think there's very few people who really started at the shop floor or the garage floor in your case and worked their way up to the corner office. But I always think that gives you like a massive advantage in understanding the risks and the little granular details of the business.
That's one big advantage. The other one is you do not ever lose touch to the base, because quite frankly, it's all about people. And it doesn't matter if you are in the production line, if you're in purchasing, if you're in management, they all contribute for the success.
And so you finish university, and I guess you were already working with Volkswagen beforehand. So you actually haven't known anything but Volkswagen.
From an automotive perspective, that's true, yes.
Do you think that's an advantage, or do you have a longing maybe to go work in another? I guess you can't say that on air. But I guess we'll be there for the rest of your life now.
I always admired the brand Volkswagen, because when you think Volkswagen, it's a worldwide operating company. It has lots of other brands that you can work for, and the opportunities are just outstanding. And I mean, everybody who has ever sat in a Volkswagen knows what I'm talking about. It's engineering, and it's just fun and the feel.
What's your favorite Volkswagen?
That's a good question. How many can I choose
just
from
one,
now?
Just one.
Well, I drive a Phaeton.
Okay. I think a lot of people like the GTI Turbo, though, right? I think you just came out with adding a little bit of horsepower to it as well.
Yes, the GTI, or pretty soon we will bring the 280 horsepower Golf R, or what's even more popular down here in the region is our luxury SUV, the Touareg, and of course the Passat from a sedan perspective.
Is that your most popular, is the Touareg?
The Touareg was the most popular car until last year when we launched the Passat, and the Passat now is our biggest volume model. In fact, it has even been awarded to be the best mid-sized sedan in the Middle East.
Which one's the most profitable from a net profit perspective? Because I know sometimes you can have the fastest growing, you can have the biggest volume, and then the most profitable.
You know, it's of course where the more expensive the vehicle is, most probably the higher margin we have on the vehicle, and that's why I would say the every Touareg counts.
Well, then you're sitting pretty then. If that's your second bestseller, is your most profitable as well. That's fantastic. You had a stint. You went from Germany into United States of America to work.
Yes, at a very, very early stage. I just started after university for a little bit over a year. And then my daughter was just 8 years old. Of course, she didn't speak English. We just finished our, you know, first house, so we were a real happy family. And then I had the opportunity to go outside to the Americas, which was kind of challenging.
I was going to say, because, you know, Germans are known for, you know, their engineering, and there's a very distinct culture there, which also has a lot of equity in the global market. And then the Americans also have a very distinct approach to business, and which is also very different and has its you know, equity in the market as well. What was that like? Was there a culture clash going into that, or...?
I would not say it's a clash, but it was definitely a huge experience for me, because you're absolutely right. You know, I'm very structured, very organized. I plan everything, and of course, we do minutes when we meet. The Americans, they are a little bit more relaxed. They have a different lifestyle, but they are not less efficient than we are. But I learned a lot, and to bring those cultures aligned. Is actually possible.
It's possible, yeah. Well, obviously, I think there's like tons of Germans that would work in the U.S. and are very successful, I think. So after that, you came back to Germany after your U.S. run?
Yes.
And then you went back again, or no?
So basically how it looks like, the first almost 3 years, you know, didn't hurt, and I didn't mess up a lot, so they called me back. After being in Germany for 3.5 years, and then I had my 5-year assignment in America.
When you're navigating these corporations, I think you know, you can get branded a certain way. I think there was one gentleman, he joined General Electric or GE, and when he was in just coming first year or 2 years in early career, and he interviewed with Jack Welch, and then who was the CEO at the time, and then you know, 10 years later he was up for a bigger, you know, a much bigger job, divisional GM role. And Jack Welch didn't give him the job because he still remembered him as that younger, you know, guy. You know, he had been branded. You know, these are some of the issues you have when you stay in the same company the whole time. What were some of the major, were there any major issues you face in navigating the corporate ladder? Or were there any managers maybe who, you know, maybe were less encouraging, perhaps, than some of the others?
I mean, first of all, I'm surprised about this reaction, because if you get branded, you get not developed in a company, which is pretty bad. And also people do not, you know, see the potential in the individuals. I was actually always lucky with what I've done. I had the one or the other issue, of course, with the one or the other people that I, or person that I had to work for. But my jobs have always been a lot of fun.
This is Thomas Miltz, Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East, sharing his lessons learned on the road to the top. Welcome back to ION Careers. We are here with Thomas Miltz, the Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East. Thomas, welcome back to ION Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
Sorry, I had a little another taste of AC/DC there, but it's really exciting listening to your story. I mean, you grew up in basically the capital of Volkswagen, or you know, it was how do you pronounce the name of your hometown again? I didn't want to.
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg.
Yeah, that's a German way.
Wolfsburg. So you know, we're 50,000 people out of 120,000. The total town is 120,000. 50,000 of them worked in Volkswagen.
Yes, that's. And when you're on the street in Wolfsburg, we have a market share of 65%.
Okay. And the other, there isn't another car brand there, is it? Because then there would be like riots, I'm sure. What's the other? Is there another car factory?
I don't think these days there are anybody else recognized anymore.
Okay. So basically grew up with Volkswagen in your blood and started working with them right out of high school from working as a mechanic and then also going to university for business economics and then growing into the management side of the business. You really have a 360-degree view of your industry and your brand, which is a huge accolade. And I think when you look at other people in the market who have been successful, maybe they have switched brands, but they stay in one industry. So you know that industry inside out. But you obviously have been through your fair share of bulls and bears. What has been, you know, the biggest challenge you've had to face in your 20 years at Volkswagen?
My biggest challenge was basically when I was offered the second time to go back to the U.S. That was in 2004, and I was pretty much about ready to sign the contract and go. And then my dad at that point of time was actually didn't feel well. He was sick, and then unfortunately he was diagnosed with cancer. So you can imagine, you have your family ready to move, you have the contract on the table, it's a huge opportunity within the company, and you're just stuck in a situation where you have to make a decision. Are you going to stay with your dad? You never know what's going to happen, how long it's going to last, and that was a really tough situation, and in fact, he's still alive, and he's doing
that's great.
Good.
That's great. So what did you decide, to stay back or to...
Basically, it was... No, we moved. We moved to the United States. We had changed our plans a little bit, so we made ourselves very, very flexible. So in case, we needed to go, we were always ready within, 12 hours to go over to Germany, and we would have been there. There are flights every day. We visited them a lot, and then after his therapy and everything, we... brought them over to us so that he spent time with us.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the things you need to be successful in business is self-confidence, or having that confidence. And it's easy to have confidence when the bills are paid, when, you know, the business is good, when your marriage is working out, the kids are behaving as they should, and everything's moving along. It's tough to have that confidence when, you know, someone has cancer, or you're facing the death of a loved one, or your home life may be shattered, or the mortgage payments aren't getting paid, or maybe you just lost your job. These are the moments where you need to dig. How did you dig through this, and how did you find your light in that darkness?
At that point of time, I talked a lot. I talked a lot with my wife. I talked a lot with some friends. But I also, of course, talked about that with my boss that I had in America and the one that I had in Wolfsburg. For me, that helped a lot because everybody was aware of the situation, and I got a lot of support, and everybody understands the situation. You don't have to hide for such situations.
I think a lot of people do the opposite, right? They clam up and they don't talk about it, and they try to be an island, be a rock, and walk through it on your own. But I guess in your experience, it's better to open up.
It was definitely the right thing to do for me, but everybody individually out there, you know, all of your listeners are different. So not everybody can talk about their problems and their issues. They need to find their own ways. I think the base, and that is the most important thing, is you need to be satisfied with what you're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, from a personal perspective, I don't think what could be tougher than the possible loss of a loved one. I think it's one of the toughest things that you could face. From a business perspective, the automotive industry is very competitive, and there's a lot of movement at any given time. You know, what was from the business perspective, one of the biggest challenges you went through?
Well, everybody would like to become a manager. Everybody would like to have, you know, the company cars, the bonuses, the business class travels and everything. But there are things that you also get, and that's responsibility when you become a manager. And any time, and that happened to me in my career too, where you are faced in a situation where the business has to be changed. In some occasions, maybe a different focus, or even you have to shrink the organization. You have to face a difficult situation in which you, and that happened to me, you have to tell people that unfortunately there's no room in the company anymore, and you have to lay off people.
What year was this?
That was back in 2005.
Okay, so I mean, the market was still good, wasn't it, in 2005?
No, actually, it was America. So after 9/11, you know, the market didn't really rebound that quickly. And there were some really, really bad things happening. And also, Volkswagen went through a restructuring. We split the company. We actually found a new headquarter later on. So many things were going on there.
And what about the brand itself? I mean, the positioning of the brand, did you have to tweak that? Or what were some of the more complex business issues that you really had to dig your teeth into?
From a pure product perspective, Volkswagen, as far as I can say with my career, has actually always doing very, very well. Because since Dr. Pieck joined, and that was in 1993, so basically prior to my time, the strategy of Volkswagen was German engineering, fit and finish, the quality, and we spent a lot of investment. However, if you talk about challenges, all this, of course, cost a fortune. That's a huge investment. So the difficulties that you face are more towards pricing and prices and competitiveness in the market.
And the price of cars is coming up again now, isn't it? Or is it coming down?
Well, it depends on the market. I do not see this development here in the Middle East. Prices are still very, very stable in the automotive sector. And it's a very, very competitive sector.
What's going on with the Americans, though? Their car, I mean, they had some traditionally amazing brands like the Cadillac, for example. It seems to just be, I think they almost went bankrupt. Then they had, you know, the Hummer. The original Hummer was amazing, and they completely destroyed that. They came out with the Saturn, which hit the market. It was like a big success, and then they killed that. You know, where do you see the Americans? Do you think they're going to make a comeback, or will Detroit continue to be a ghost town?
I'm one of the defendants, actually, of Detroit. I know I don't have many friends out there, but Detroit, I think, is a great city, to be honest. Every city has its you know, own streets where you don't want to be overnight, but I think that's not the topic to talk now here because we're not talking about vacation or any other trips. From an automotive sector, the best thing that could happen to Chrysler and GM was Chapter 11, because they were really able to just shed off a lot of things that they were carrying with them. I think, and just look at these days, how they have developed in the American market. They rebounded, they restructured, they shed off a lot of people, they restructured their infrastructure and their network. And some of those brands are also engineering much, much better vehicles than in the past.
Well, you think Cadillac will make it back? Because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, it was such an amazing, cool, high-end luxury premium car. Today, not so much, right? Do you think they're gonna make a comeback?
I think what they've done very, very well is they invested in product. When you think about it, back when I was the first time in America in 1998, there was this Cadillac Seville, you know, Seville and Devil. So huge cars that are being driven by people that definitely had gray hair, and in many cases was their last purchase. So, you know, if you have to conquest all the time, that's very difficult. So what they've done very, very well is they invested into product. And quite frankly, when you read some books, some articles, or also when you listen to some of those executives, some of them actually look and try to copy Volkswagen. And honestly, it's sounds a bit ridiculous now, but when you look at the product and which manufacturer, premium volume manufacturer, is really taking care of investment and product quality, this is, I think, where we are benchmarked.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned this copying, because when you look at the automotive market, it seems like everybody's copying everyone. Like, what's the difference between the Land Cruiser and the Patrol, for example? Or, you know, and I could just pick so many different brands that, you know, even some of the Hyundais are looking like Mercedes. Everybody, you know, are they just outsourcing their design to the same shop in China and these designs are being shipped back? It really seems like, you know, when you look back in the 50s and the 60s, where, you know, you really had original designs, you know, the cars looked very, very different from each other. Now we're just, everything's being assimilated.
Some of it is contributed to also regulations. When you think about Europe, North America, there are regulations with regard to fuel efficiency. And cars became more powerful, bigger, but more fuel efficient. So one of which is definitely technology. So smaller engines, turbo and compressor engines, but also lighter. Like the new the seventh generation Golf became. You mentioned the GTI. You know, it's up to 100 kilograms lighter, more horsepower, and way more dynamic, and less fuel consumption. So you have to contribute from a design perspective.
Yeah, but I think Volkswagen's been fairly true to its design, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the you know, it's similar, like Porsche, for example. It has that distinctive Porsche look. The GTI has kept its kind of distinctive GTI look, you know. And I wonder what's going to happen next. And a lot of people were on the verge, you know, we're on the verge of that electricity moment. Mm. You know, where will the electricity or electric car fall into the picture, if at all? Will the petrol heads ever take their foot off the pedal? What do you think on that?
I think the pure electric vehicle still plays a niche and will always play a niche, because it cannot be a volume car. I think hybrid technology will be definitely something which is helping us. And
hyper technology? I think hybrid. my neighbor's kids have that. Hyper. what's hyper technology? I'm not up to date on this.
Well, unfortunately, last week we had the so-called Volkswagen XL1 here in Dubai. Actually, it even went up on Twitter, on one of the, I think it was even the Sheikh's son who saw it and put the car on Twitter. It's a 1-liter vehicle. It fits two people. It's a limited edition. We will only produce 200,000. It's a diesel engine. And has an electric engine. So once the battery is empty, you still drive with your diesel engine.
This is Thomas Miltz, a managing director for Volkswagen Middle East, sharing his secrets on getting to the top and his insights in the automotive industry. Stay with us. We'll be hearing what it takes to make it in the auto industry in the 21st century. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Thomas Miltz, the managing director for Volkswagen Middle East. Thomas, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
For those of you just joining us, Thomas grew up in Wolfsburg. Did I say that right?
You do great.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'll start learning German then shortly. So Wolfsburg has 120,000 people in it. 50,000 of them work for the Volkswagen plant. So he basically has worked from the garage floor right up to the corner office, understanding every piece of his business, has led restructurings in the United States, and has worked on an international and a global level, is here now in the Middle East, where he says the Touareg was his bestseller until the Passat recently took the checkered flag. Thomas, what's the size of the team that you're leading here across the region?
We have the total company, Volkswagen and Audi Middle East, has roughly 100 people, and in my team, I'm heading 25.
25. So what do you see as, you know, when you look at leadership from your perspective, what's some of the biggest challenges that you face as you take that that helm of an organization?
Oh, the biggest challenge is you need to convince the people. As I said earlier, the market is very competitive, and the business is very competitive. So we are always striving for new targets, and we want to be, you know, better, more successful, selling more cars. And there's it's a stressful job, but the challenge is to balance the stress of the of the job with fun, because at the end of the day, it's people.
So how do you get people, you know, if you have a, you have an idea, you have a strategy, you know, maybe you've been with the company for so long, like you said, you can take a car apart and put it back together basically by yourself if you had to. You know, so you could probably have a good idea of where things need to go, and you could have that vision. For maybe you're working with someone who's only been with a company for 4 or 5 years, maybe they don't see it as clearly as you do. How do you get those people to take ownership of the idea for them to really get in the driver's seat and execute that strategy?
You need to convince the people, and you need to inspire them. I have a clear vision, and I'm a very passionate, even though I'm German, I'm very passionate. And, you know, I feel, live, and breathe, you know, the Volkswagen brand. And, you know, as you just read this email to me there from this GTI owner, I love the car, I love the product. And that's how I run the business. I love what I'm doing, and I'm convinced that the goals that we have, the targets that we have, that we can achieve them. It's really, you need to, you just need to want to achieve those. And then there's no barrier.
It's funny how, you know, people don't realize how contagious emotion and thoughts are, you know. Because, for example, if you're in a room and you yawn, you know, there's 90% chance someone else will actually yawn, which is crazy, right? And so, you know, I think a lot of executives don't realize that, you know, their dispassion or their disenfranchisement or their disinterest in the values and the value that their brand or their organization or company is creating is very, very evident.
Yes.
I always say when I interview people, I think that's one of the, like 80% of the people have no passion for the job. And I say, if you're not excited about what you do, how can I get excited about it? Yes. I don't know if you find some of the same things echoed in your work. Is that, you know, when you're hiring, is it that, you know, do you look for that?
I look for authenticity and honesty. You know, I mean, with more than 20 years that I've been with Volkswagen now, I have always been honest, and honest even to Dr. Pieck. I had once an opportunity. Actually, you never look for an opportunity to talk to this man, but he asked me a question I had to answer, and I was honest, which was most probably be the right thing to do because I'm still with Volkswagen. And this is when I interview people, I think the biggest mistake that that I've so far experienced with people is that they are not honest and not authentic. So they tell you, "I'm paying attention to detailed. I'm very you know, analytic," and then you ask, okay, questions like, you know, what kind of cars does Volkswagen offer, and they have no clue.
They haven't done the research. It's unbelievable. So when you know, I think it's interesting when you're in, you know, you're looking at different management models. When you travel, that's one of the best things is you really get exposed to different approaches. And, you know, some people feel that, you know, good people don't need to be motivated. And other people feel that, you know, everybody needs to be motivated. Where do you sit on this skill? You know, does a leader need to motivate people or should they already be motivated? Or what's your approach to that?
My base assumption is everybody who comes to work is motivated, because if they would not be motivated, they would not show up at work. The biggest mistake that a leader can do is to demotivate the people. And there are, of course, certain areas how you can do it. You can yell at them. You can shout at them. You can always just be negative. You can close your door and always keep a distance between you and your people. And that's what I'm not doing. I basically motivate my people, in which I give them power. Yeah, I delegate, and if you have experienced people and they have the competency, they deserve to make the decision. I don't need to make all the decisions in the company.
But you know, sometimes, like I played American football, and when you're, it's a bit like the military, because you know the coaches are you know, they're very similar to a pit bull with hemorrhoids type of disposition, you know, and they'll grab your helmet and they scream right in your ear, you know, and it somehow it works, you know. Sometimes don't you need a little bit of a kick in the you know where to get moving?
Yeah, but the big difference between American football and the automotive industry, especially with Volkswagen, is, you know, when you get your kick, you need to be concentrated for, let's say, 60 seconds, you know, and then you're off to the next turn. With me, 60 seconds doesn't help me a lot. I need to have long-term success, and I need to have long-term oriented people that are performing also long-term. So the kick, you're absolutely right. But first of all, it's my responsibility to train the people. If they don't know how to do their job, I cannot, you know, let's say, kick them. It's my responsibility. And once they know how to do their job, of course, we set targets, and those targets need to be achieved.
What do you think about compensation and performance? I mean, there's a lot of studies that show that actually compensating someone highly for an action can actually demotivate them. And is there a law of diminishing returns in the compensation structure? How should leaders be structuring their compensation for their staff? What's your approach or your philosophy behind you know, this area of incentives?
I think the old-fashioned way still works very well. You need to have a base compensation that gives you or that puts you into a situation in which you can live without major constraints. So families happy, kids can go to school, and you also can manage your work-life balance. And then there's this component, which we also have at Volkswagen, where we have an annual bonus for company goals that are achieved, for personal goals that have been achieved, and also for individual performance.
So you think, you know, basically the way we've been doing it is the way it should work and continue?
I'm fine with that, yes.
Yeah. So I think when you look at what's happening now in the market, I think things are changing so much. A lot of people are concerned about the Gen Y or the Gen Z or whatever they're calling them now. You know, these kids who are, you know, 8 years, you know, younger than that, like 3 years old, they're playing and they're learning on iPads and they can reprogram your phone by the age of six. And, you know, are they going to change the workplace, or is this a bunch of hoopla and, you know, things will be the same? I mean, because for example, sorry to cut you off, you know, like the Yahoo CEO, I think she just pulled everyone out of their home offices. You say, you know, this garbage is not working, right? And, you know, a lot of executives, for example, when I do a search, if the job is working from home, they don't want it. They don't want to work from home. They want an office, right? So, you know, is this all just a bunch of blah, blah, blah? And the reality is, you know, we will be back to steak and potato shortly.
No, I think it's a little bit of both, because in that sector, the life cycle of technology, you know, it's like 6 months, 12 months before the next product is coming. So you need a lot of creativity, you need a lot of change, and you need people that are not stuck into processes. I cannot engineer a car every year. You know, you cannot have the eighth generation Golf next year after we just launched the seventh generation Golf. At least not the way we do it, with major changes and improvements. So you need to have a little bit of both.
This is Thomas Miltz, Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Thomas Miltz, the Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East. Thomas, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Hey, Shane.
It's been quite interesting. I mean, for those just joining, Thomas grew up in Wolfsburg, a town with 120,000 people, 50,000 of them, including his mom and dad, worked at the Volkswagen factory. So Thomas has VW blood. That's his blood type, VW.
Yes. And it's blue, by the way.
It's blue with tire marks in it. No, it's quite interesting. And, you know, managing a career through one organization is a very tough job. I want to know, you know, what would be, you know, your secrets to success?
Ion Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Thomas, what's your secret to success?
My secret to my personal success is that I've always had a clear vision and idea what I wanted to be and where I wanted to be. I was always honest, which I think is very, very important. And when you know what you are capable of and when you know exactly what you want to, and if you are honest, not only to yourself, but also to your environment, that is my secret to my success.
Ion Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I was watching Les Brown, who's one of these motivational speakers, and he was deemed as being mentally retarded in life mentally challenged. I don't know if I said that correctly, but he was labeled as that in school. He failed out. He was basically not able to go to university. He was pounded all the time. And now he's a self-made multimillionaire. And, you know, he says when life knocks you down, you hope that you land on your back, because as long as you're facing up, if you can look up, you can get up. And, you know, I think that's such a great quote. And I think, you know, when you're talking about that integrity and that vision of, you know, where you want to be. And so many people, I think they aren't able to take a vision that's as high as they should be because of self-confidence. I think when you look at why we're not being as successful as we can, it's not because we aimed too high and missed, but we aimed too low and hit. And I think that is an issue that falls down on self-belief and self-confidence, because you had that self-belief that you are going to achieve that vision.
Yes.
And so I think when you look at it, it's really interesting when you say, okay, it's not that it's that we aim too low and hit. That's interesting, because that's like almost a self-destructive force. And you know, one of the statistics that I was playing around with is that the suicide rate in most American cities is higher than the homicide rate. In fact, 30%. So that means you're 30% more likely to kill yourself than be killed by someone else in the U.S. And American cities are pretty dangerous, so that's a scary thought. But, you know, it shows you how self-destructive we can be. Do you ever feel this? The ancient Greeks used to call this the Eros and the Thanatos. The desire to create and the desire to destroy is within us.
I think you really need to be satisfied with yourself and satisfied with what you're doing. You need to be responsible for what you're doing, and you need to feel good about it. And you should always strive to become better. Yeah, of course. But you also need to make your own decision whether or not you would like to become a leader, or if another profession or level is the right level for you.
Is leadership? I think leadership's overrated, isn't it? Because, you know, it's the followers, you know, generally that get stuff done, right? You know, at the end of the day, you know, you only need one Einstein or one of these. You only have one Winston Churchill, or, you know, and after Winston Churchill's up there, or George Washington, or whoever it is, it's the first few followers of the people that are getting behind and rallying who actually get the work done, right? So I don't know, when you're looking to hire people, what do you look for? Do you look for that leadership trait, or do you look for that collaboration factor, that tenacity, or what do you see as the key traits of a successful executive in Volkswagen?
Of course, first of all, there's the competency. And after competency, the character has to fit in the Volkswagen brand. And again, we are such a passionate brand, yeah, with passionate products, and it's really German engineering. We need people that have the will to make changes. We have the people that take We need to have the people that take responsibilities, and this is the character that I'm looking for: honesty, responsible, and the right competencies.
And are these are hard to find.
Yep. not always that easy.
Integrity is a really annoying thing because it gets in the way of stuff, you know. When you have integrity, I define integrity as values matching actions. And so someone who has a high level of integrity immediately has a limited number of options because, you know, you can't do unethical things or immoral things or things that go that contrast your personal values. For example, a vegetarian with a high level of integrity can never eat meat. So, you know, there was times when Gandhi would not eat for the day because his integrity was that high. You know, he just would, on the flip side of that, you can say inflexible. But it depends, you know, is he crazy or eccentric? But these traits are hard to find because you have to make sacrifice. You have to have the courage to make that sacrifice. And I don't know if you find that you've ever had those turmoil moments where you have to ask yourself, am I willing to sacrifice? I think one of the things that I always rings out from one of my mentors is it's not what you want or how bad you want, it's what you're willing to sacrifice for that really makes the difference.
Yeah, but then the question is, what does sacrifice mean? You know, is it sacrifice time? Yes, absolutely. If you want to become a leader, you need to sacrifice time. Do you need to sacrifice quality in life? No. If the job is right, if the brand is right, if you have fun, you know, that is not sacrificing for me. Of course, when you talk to my wife and, you know, I'm using, you know, on the weekend at the Spinneys in the queue, my you know, personal electronic device to my emails, and we are sitting on the beach on the vacation, and I'm still working. She doesn't like that much, but for me, it's not sacrifice because I just love doing it. Not working, you know, at the beach, but working for Volkswagen and the brand. You know, it's we have great products.
So, what's your final bit of advice for anybody who wants to get a little bit more success in their life?
As I said, I mean, honesty, the will, you know, willingness to invest into him or herself, and thrive, you know, for always for something new or different, and be open, and also there is no real failure. Yeah, because once you make a mistake, you definitely learn from it, and then you go forward again.
Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time to come out and see us. Hopefully, we can have you back on the show again sometime soon.
Yeah, most probably. Why not? Yeah. Love it.
And otherwise, we'll see you cruising down Sheikh Zayed Road in your Volkswagen.
Yes, and many of other Volkswagens.
Thank you so much. That was Thomas Miltz, Managing Director for Volkswagen Middle East, sharing his secrets to success. Coming up, we are actually going to have the F1 champions in the house, Renault, which is a very exciting brand of itself. This is the automotive themed show here on Ion Careers. We have Peeman Kargar coming in from the Middle East Managing Director for Renault. This guy spends, I think, more time in the air than he does on the ground. So we'll be hearing how he got to the top of the automotive business as well. So coming up, it's the Managing Director Middle East for Renault. It's the automotive show. So I hope you're finding your drive out there. This is Ion Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we'll be back in just a minute.